Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Trinadipi Sunichena Tarodiva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Harenama, Harenama, Harenama Eva Kivalam. Galo Nastieva, 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 Gatir Anyata. The book known as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as given to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the middle of chapter 78, today we will cover two chapters. We will also cover chapter 79. Today's episode is the killing of Romaharshan and the subsequent activities Lord Balaram performed after that incident. Once upon a time, Lord Balaram heard that an arrangement was being made for a fight between the two rival parties in the Kuru dynasty, one headed by Duryodhan and the other by the Pandavas. He did not like the idea, and he tried to act as a mediator to stop the fighting. Finding it impossible and not wishing to take an active part on behalf of either party, he left Dwaraka on the plea of visiting various holy places of pilgrimage. He first of all visited the place of pilgrimage known as Prabhas Kshetra. He took his bath there, and he pacified the local brahmanas and offered oblations to the demigods, pittas, great sages, and people in general, in accordance with Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. That is the Vedic method of visiting holy places. After this, accompanied by some respectable brahmanas, he decided to visit different places on the bank of the river Sarasvati. He gradually visited such places as Prathudaka, Bindusara, Tirthakupa, Sudarshana Tirtha, Vishala Tirtha, Brahma Tirtha, and Chakra Tirtha. Besides these, he also visited all the holy places on the bank of the Sarasvati River running toward the east. After this, he visited all the principal holy places on the bank of the Yamuna and on the bank of the Ganges. Thus, he gradually came to the holy place known as Naimisharanya. Naimisharanya is still existing in India, and in ancient times it was especially used for the meeting of great sages and saintly persons, with the aim of understanding spiritual life and self-realization. When Lord Balaram visited that place, there was a great sacrifice being performed by a great assembly of transcendentalists. Such meetings were planned to last thousands of years. When Lord Balaram arrived, all the participants in the meeting, great sages, ascetics, brahmanas, and learned scholars, immediately arose from their seats and welcomed him with great honor and respect. Some offered him respects by standing up and then paying obeisances. And those who were elderly great sages and Brahmins offered him blessings after standing up. After this formality, Lord Balaram was offered a suitable seat, and everyone present worshipped him. Everyone in the assembly stood up in the presence of Balarama because they knew him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Education or learning means to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although Lord Balaram appeared on the earth as a Kshatriya, all the Brahmins and sages stood up because they knew who Lord Balaram was. Unfortunately, after being worshipped and seated in his place, Lord Balaram saw Romaharshana, the disciple of Vyasadeva, the literary incarnation of Godhead. Romaharshana was still sitting on the Vyasasana. He had neither gotten up from his seat nor offered him respects. Because he was seated on the Vyasasana, he foolishly thought himself greater than the Lord. Therefore, he did not get down from his seat nor bow down before the Lord. Lord Balaram then considered the history of Romaharshana. He was born in a Sutta family, or mixed family, born of a Brahmana woman and a Kshatriya man. Therefore, although Romaharshana considered Balaram a Kshatriya, he should not have remained sitting on a higher seat. According to his position by birth, he should not even have accepted the higher sitting position, because many learned Brahmins and sages were present. Lord Balaram also observed that Romaharshana not only refused to come down from his exalted seat, but did not even stand up and offer his respects when Balaramaji entered the assembly. Lord Balaram did not like the audacity of Romaharshana, and becoming very angry at him, declared from his seat, "This man, Romaharshana, is so impudent that he has accepted a higher seat than all of the respectable Brahmins present here. Although he was born in a degraded Pratiloma family." When a person is seated on the Vyasasana, he does not generally have to stand to receive a particular person entering the assembly. But in this case, the situation was different because Lord Baladeva is not an ordinary human being. Therefore, although Romaharshana Sutta was voted to the Vyasasana by all the Brahmanas, he should not have followed the behavior of other learned sages and Brahmins present, and should have known that Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Respects are always due him, even though such respects can be avoided in the case of an ordinary man. The appearance of Krishna and Balaram is especially meant for the re-establishment of religious principles. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the highest religious principle is to surrender to the Supreme personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam also confirms that the topmost perfection of religion is to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. When Lord Balaram saw that Romaharshan Sutta did not understand the highest principle of religion, in spite of his having studied all the Vedas, he certainly could not support his position. Romaharshana Sutta had been given the chance to become a perfect Brahmana, but because of his ill behavior in his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his low birth was immediately remembered. Romaharshana Sutta had been given the position of a Brahmin, but he had not been born in the family of a Brahmin. He had been born in a Pratiloma family. According to the Vedic concept, there are two kinds of mixed family heritage, called Anuloma and Pratiloma. When a male is united with a female of a lower caste, the offspring is called Anuloma. But when a male unites with a woman of a higher caste, the offspring is called Pratiloma. Romaharshana Sutta belonged to a Pratiloma family because his father was a Kshatriya and his mother a Brahmana. Because Romaharshana's transcendental realization was not perfect, Lord Balarama remembered his Pratiloma heritage. The idea is that any man may be given the chance to become a Brahmana, but if he improperly uses the position of a Brahmin without actual realization, then his elevation to the brahminical position is not valid. After seeing the deficiency of realization in Romaharshana Sutta, Lord Baladev decided to chastise him for being puffed up. Lord Balaram therefore said, "This man is liable to be awarded the death punishment, because although he has the good qualification of being a disciple of Lord Vyasadeva, and although he has studied all the Vedic literature from this exalted personality, he was not submissive in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, a person who is actually a Brahmana and is very learned must automatically become very gentle also. But although Romaharshana Sutta was very learned and had been given the chance to become a Brahmana, he had not become gentle. From this we can understand that one who is puffed up by material acquisitions cannot acquire the gentle behavior befitting a Brahmana. The learning of such a person is as good as a valuable jewel decorating the head of a serpent. Despite the valuable jewel on the hood, a serpent is still a serpent and is as fearful as an ordinary serpent. If a person does not become meek and humble, all his studies of the Vedas and Puranas and his vast knowledge of the Shastras are simply outward dress, like the costume of a theatrical artist dancing on the stage. Lord Balaram considered, I have appeared in order to chastise false persons who are internally impure, but externally pose themselves as very learned and religious. My killing of such persons is proper to check them from further sinful activity. Lord Balaram had avoided taking part in the battle of Kurukshetra, and yet, because of his position as an incarnation, the re-establishment of religious principles was his prime duty. Considering these points, he killed Romaharshanasutta simply by striking him with a kusa straw, which was nothing but a blade of grass. If someone questions how Lord Balaram could kill Romaharshanasutta simply by striking him with a blade of grass, the answer is given in Srimad Bhagavatam by the use of the word Prabhu, or Master. The Lord's position is always transcendental, and because he is omnipotent, he can act as he likes without being obliged to follow the material laws and principles. Thus, it was possible for him to kill Romaharshanasutta simply by striking him with a blade of kusha grass. At the death of Romaharshanasutta, everyone present became much aggrieved and cried out, "Alas! Alas!" Although the Brahmins and sages present knew Lord Balaram to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they did not hesitate to protest the Lord's actions. They humbly submitted, "Our dear Lord, we think that your action is not in line with religious principles. Dear Lord Yadunandana, we may inform you that we Brahmanas posted Romaharshanasutta on the exalted position for the duration of this great sacrifice. He was seated on the Vyasasan by our election. And when one is seated on the Vyasasan, it is improper for him to stand up to receive a person. Moreover, we awarded Romaharshanasutta an undisturbed duration of life. Under the circumstances, since your lordship has killed him without knowing all these facts, we think that your action is equal to the killing of a Brahmana. Dear Lord, deliverer of all fallen souls, we know for certain that you are the knower of all Vedic principles. You are the master of all mystic powers. Therefore, the Vedic injunctions cannot ordinarily be applied to you. But we respectfully advise you to show your causeless mercy upon others by kindly atoning for the killing of this Romaharshanasutta. We do not, however, suggest what kind of act you should perform to atone for killing him. We simply suggest that you adopt some method of atonement so that others may follow your action. What is done by a great personality is followed by the ordinary man." The Lord replied, "Yes, I must atone for this action, which may have been proper for me, but is improper for others. Therefore, I think it is my duty to execute a suitable act of atonement enjoined in the authorized scriptures. Simultaneously, I can also give this Romaharshana Sutta life again with a span of long duration, sufficient strength, and full power of the senses. Not only this, but if you desire, I shall be glad to award him anything else you may ask. I shall be very glad to grant all these boons to fulfill your desires. This statement by Lord Balaram definitely confirms that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is free to act in any way. Although his killing of Romaharshana Sutta may be considered improper, he could immediately counteract it with a greater profit to all. Therefore, one should not imitate the actions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should simply follow the instructions of the Lord. All the great learned sages present realized that although they considered the action of Lord Balaram improper, the Lord was immediately able to compensate with greater profits. Not wanting to detract from the mission of the Lord in killing Romaharshana Sutta, all of them prayed. Our dear Lord, the uncommon use of your Kusha weapon to kill Romaharshana Sutta may remain as it is. Because you desire to kill him, he should not be brought to life again. At the same time, your Lordship may remember that we sages and brahmanas voluntarily gave him long life. Therefore, such a benediction should not be nullified. Thus, the request of all the learned brahmanas in the assembly was ambiguous because they wanted to keep intact their benediction that Romaharshana Sutta would continue to live until the end of the great sacrifice. But at the same time, they did not want to nullify Balaram's killing him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead therefore solved the problem in a manner befitting his exalted position. He therefore said, because the Son is produced from the body of the Father, the Vedas enjoin that the Son is the Father's representative. Therefore I say that Ugrashrava Sutta, the son of Romaharshana Sutta, should henceforth take his father's position and continue the discourses on the Puranas. And because you wanted Romaharshana to have a long duration of life, this benediction will be transferred to his son. The son, Ugrashrava, will therefore have all the facilities you offered, a long duration of life in a good and healthy body with no disturbances and full strength of all the senses. Lord Balaram then implored all the sages and brahmanas that aside from the benediction offered to the son of Romaharshana, they should ask from him any other benediction and he would be prepared to fulfill it immediately. The Lord thus placed himself in the position of an ordinary kshatriya and informed the sages that he did not know in what way he could atone for his killing of Romaharshana. But whatever they would suggest, he would be glad to accept. The Brahmanas could understand the purpose of the Lord, and thus they suggested that he atone in a manner beneficial to them. They said, "Our dear Lord, there is a very powerful demon of the name Bulbala. He is the son of Ilvala, and he visits this sacred place of sacrifice every fortnight on the full moon and moonless days, and creates a great disturbance to the discharge of our duties in the sacrifice. O descendant of the Darsharha family, we all request you to kill this demon. We think that if you kindly kill him, that will be your atonement on our behalf. The demon occasionally comes here and profusely throws upon us contaminated impure things like pus, blood, stool, urine, and wine. He pollutes this sacred place by showering such filth upon us. After killing Bulbala, you may continue touring all the sacred places of pilgrimage for 12 months, and in that way, you will be completely freed from all contamination. That is our prescription." Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 78th chapter of Krishna, entitled The Killing of Dantavakra, Vidurata, and Romaharshana. Unchain my heart. Maya, let me be. Unchain my heart. Cause you don't care about me. You got me sewn up like a pillowcase. And I'm just letting my love go to waste. So unchain my heart, oh please, set me free. Unchain my heart. Maya, let me go. Unchain my heart. Cause I don't want you no more. Every time I call out Krishna's name, it feels as if I'm putting out your flame. Unchain my heart, oh please, set me free. I'm under your spell, like a man in a trance. But I know damn well that I don't stand a chance. Unchain my heart, I'll go Krishna's way. Unchain my heart before you drive me insane. Why lead me through a life of misery when you don't care about what's best for me? Unchain my heart, oh please, set me free. Ow!
Inside my heart. Inside my heart. my Lord, I simply must surrender.
I see.